This is NPR.
Thanks, and good morning, everyone. Violence in Kenya has now claimed the lives of at least 275 people. The trouble started when incumbent President Mwai Kibaki defeated Raila Odinga this weekend in an election many say was rigged. Rioters angry over the outcome began torching the Kenyan slums, raping and killing members of Kibaki's Kikuyu tribe. On Tuesday, hundreds of Kikuyu women and children sought refuge in a Catholic church. A mob set the building on fire and attacked the people inside with machetes. NPR's Gwen Tompkins reports.
Aid workers estimate that at least 50 people were killed.
Innocent Kenyans did not do anything wrong. They exercised their right to vote, whichever way they did it, and they're not the problem.
Maina Kiai heads the Kenya National Commission on Human Rights. The commission is calling on Kibaki and Odinga to do more to end the violence.
What we suggested is for Nelson Mandela moments, where the political leadership reaches out to the other side in dramatic gestures.
NPR's Gwen Tompkins. Odinga has called for peace and also for a million people to march in protest of the election tomorrow. Pakistan's Elections Commission will delay parliamentary balloting by 1 month, according to a report this morning from the Associated Press. Officials in Pakistan say it would be almost impossible to keep the original date of January 8th after the killing of opposition leader Benazir Bhutto. That's because rioters burned 10 election offices after Bhutto was assassinated on Thursday. The Elections Commission is expected to announce the exact schedule later today. And just who was that D.B. Cooper? The FBI is reopening the case of the famed 1971 hijacker. A man calling himself D.B. Cooper hijacked a passenger plane on November 24th that year. He let most of the passengers go in exchange for $200,000 and then parachuted into a driving rainstorm somewhere between southern Washington State and Portland, Oregon. The special agent heading up the case says Cooper was likely killed in the jump. The website for GOP presidential candidate Mike Huckabee continues to host comments by supporters who blast rival Mitt Romney's Mormon faith. That's from today's Salt Lake City Tribune. Huckabee earlier apologized to Romney about a remark disparaging the religion. The Salt Lake City paper says Huckabee's camp didn't respond to a request for comment after the paper cited harsh words from Huckabee's supporters. One wrote on the site, quote, "As evangelicals, we cannot stand for this Mormon garbage to get into office." It's college bowl season. In football, Georgia walked all over Hawaii in the Sugar Bowl, beating them 41-10. In the Rose Bowl, the University of Southern California topped Illinois. And in news that might or might not count as sports, four people are trying to loaf their way to the top in Times Square. They're competing, if you could call it that, for the title of World's Best Couch Potato. The idea is to sit around in big comfy recliners at the ESPN zone watching sports on enormous televisions. The winner gets a big TV and one of those recliners, but contestant Stan Friedman's in it for the intangibles.
I've always wanted to be, you know, the best at something, and I thought the best at sitting around and watching TV would be one of the easier things to be the best at.
The record for couch potatoing is 69 hours and 48 minutes. That's the news for now. Remember, the news is always online at NPR.org.
This is NPR.
Yes. I was just thinking, ESPN might do too good a job, and you know, all their fans might become unemployed and therefore not able to afford ESPN.
Hope none of those guys had to break a sweat.
there's a future in this, clearly.
Actually, that much time on the couch breaking a sweat ain't that hard. Simple movements.
Laura Conaway, thanks a lot.